Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
All right, well, good morning, church. God is good, and all the time. Do you believe that this morning? Are you excited for this sermon series? I am so excited for this sermon series. I believe that this is an Advent, this is a Christmas season that we will point back to for generations, that our children will talk about, that shifted a culture, not only within the church, but the culture of the age. And I'm excited for what God has in store for us over the next several weeks and months. We are in a season we've never been in before, and God is leading us. Amen. And so the sermon series is, the King is coming, and I am so thankful that he has come. And I'm so thankful that he's coming again. Amen? And so we are to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, get prepared. Get prepared. We're in a season of preparation. And so today we're going to talk about preparations. I just want to say welcome to everyone who is a visitor. There seems to be a lot of visitors in the house today. We just want to say welcome to Oakland. Welcome to the Oakland Church family. If you get a chance to, before you leave, out the back, there is a visitor station there. Please grab a mug and a bulletin and a card on our behalf and just kind of let us know you're here, and we would love to reach out to you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to Luke chapter 1, and we're just going to look at verses 13 through 17, but your homework will be to go through all of Luke chapter 1, because we're going to be talking a little bit about the entire chapter here in the message today. Hear the word of the Lord. We're talking about Zechariah. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for the Lord has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and woe." All right. Let there be light. All right. That's how you know Holy Spirit's here, whenever he starts messing with all the mechanics and stuff. But he can't shut my mouth. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." All right. Who's messing with me now? All right. "And he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor drink, nor strong drink. And he shall also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in spirit and in power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we give you these moments. And Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you would do what only you can do, that you would take one message and you would divide it 200 ways right now. Apply it to every heart. Lord, we pray, Lord, that any spirit that is not your spirit, Lord, you would evict it now in Jesus' name. Prepare the soil for good seed. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you would be seen and heard only. Lord, we give you this time. Multiply it, we pray. We trust you in Jesus' name. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. As I was preparing for this message, I felt like the Lord just put a weight on me and started to stir me and really poured a lot of revelation into me, reminded me a lot of seasons past, and also is preparing me for seasons future. I'm reminded that the Lord always sets us into seasons of preparation. But I'm also reminded that as God's people and as the children of God, we often fail to expect for him to move once the preparation is completed. I love to talk about the GOAT. Everybody knows who the GOAT is, right? The greatest of all time. And I'm a basketball player. I used to be a basketball player. All right? Don't say anything, Tanner. All right? I'm still holding on. He hasn't beat me yet. All right? No, he has. And but guys like Michael Jordan or Babe Ruth or Derek Jeter or whoever, those who have ever done anything of significance tend to over-prepare because there is a conviction in their heart and in their mentality that preparation makes perfect. There's an obsession with the details. There's a need and a desire to see it in advance. We know that the kingdom of God and the Bible also endorses preparation as well. You are in preparation. God is preparing a place for you as he prepares you for that place. And we like to sometimes call that the process. How many of you are in process, right? All the husbands better say amen, because all the wives are pointing at you. You're all in process, right? And here's the thing. You can try and you can attempt to bypass the process, but the process will never bypass you. And so I'm in process today. The Holy Spirit is building within me as he prepares in me what he's prepared for me, capacity to hold what he has. And how does he do that? Sometimes he just takes a shovel and he starts to dig. Sometimes he takes a plow and he starts to till. Sometimes he takes me and he puts me in a refining fire and the impurities have to come to the surface. But it's all preparation. The Lord loves his children so much that he will prepare us in advance for significant seasons that are ahead of us. And what he'll do is he'll give you just enough so that you trust him. Amen? There's always a veil in front of your destiny. But he speaks a word, speaks a promise. He speaks a word of prophecy within us and to us that prepares us for what's ahead of us. And normally, he will only give us enough just to trust him and know that we cannot get there unless he is leading us. That's who he is. It's no different when this story here in Luke chapter 1 with Zechariah. We know that Zechariah is a priest. We know that he's advanced in age. We know that his wife's womb is barren. We also know that he's been faithful. We know that he's a prayer warrior. You know, we talk about miracles, and within this passage, there's a lot of miracles, isn't there? There's an angel that shows up on Zechariah's doorstep. There's a womb that has been opened. There's a prophet in a prophetic word that's been released, and all of these things that are happening that could never happen. But you know what? The greatest miracle of all is probably in verse 13, where he says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." And that's what Zechariah is doing. Now, he's a priest, and some of my studies and pressing into this passage was giving me a little bit of discernment on what that would look like. You know, the priests would go into the Holy of Holies, and they would start to burn incense on the altar. And some theologians believe that the priest would really only get a chance to burn incense into the holy space, the Holy of Holies. There were other places within the temple that they could do that, and it would be a representation of the prayers of the saints, and we'll get into that. But some theologians believe that that would maybe happen once or twice, if at all, within the life or the ministry of a high priest. And so this is what's happening within Zechariah's ministry. He's an old man, and they're barren, and he's praying for the Lord to give them a spirit of multiplication. And he's there in the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God, and he lights the incense on the altar, and this angel, Gabriel, shows up. He's the messenger angel. And he says, "Hey, you know what? Your prayers have been heard, Zechariah. And they've been met, and there's a word that's being released not only into the womb of your wife, but it's being released into the womb of your spirit." How many of you know today that our wombs need to be opened in this season of Advent? And all of us have a womb. All of us have a place where the Lord speaks, and it's the holy place, and that's where the glory resides. And when people start to speak to the gold in our womb, things start to happen in the spiritual realm. And that's what God's doing in Zechariah's life. I believe sometimes we just need to give the people of the Bible a little bit of a break while we still ask her, what were they thinking? Zechariah gets this word from the angel Gabriel, and his first question is, how? And that was his last word for a season. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Zechariah is in the holy place, and he's burning incense. Incense was burned on the altar, and it meant the purification of the holy place. It was the visible example of the presence of God, and there was a sweet-smelling aroma. There are three applications to the incense in the holy place, the burnt offering to the Lord. Number one is it's the prayers of the saints being lifted to the heavens. How many of you know that when prayers go up, blessings come down? How many of you know that when prayers go up, God starts to plow in your life and make space and preparation for what he wants to sow, right? Can I just tell you today, hear me, church, that your prayers prepare ye the way of the Lord, amen? And so we need to keep praying. We need to keep fasting. We need to keep getting into the secret place because the Lord hears us. The second thing that the incense and the burnt offering on the altar does is there's a sweet smell and aroma of the purification and the sanctification of the holy place. How many of you need to be reminded today that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And how many of you need to know that today your holiness prepare ye the way of the Lord? Your holiness matters to Jesus. He said, be holy as I am holy. Be set apart. Start to examine yourself. Start to inventory yourself. Start to take those little things that kind of tickle your flesh a little bit. Things that don't compromise your salvation, because everything's permissible, but not everything is beneficial. This is a season, church, of Advent. This is when we start to make room for the Lord. We start to make preparation. We prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. And what we need to do is, instead of preparing for presents and ornaments and candles and cookies, we need to start preparing our hearts to receive what God has in store for each and every one of us. Your holiness matters, and it prepares ye the way of the Lord. Last but not least is this, there's a mystery in heaven. As you burn the incense on the altar, the smoke arises, and it's almost like a veil. And there's these things that are going on around us, but we can't see them unless the Lord reveals it. We're in the presence of something greater than ourselves. How many of you felt that way this morning? When Jesus walks in the room, you're in the presence of someone greater than yourself. Eternity has walked into the room. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, church. Can I tell you that your faith and your wonder prepares the way of the Lord? Wherever there's faith, anything is possible. And there better be faith in Advent. There better not be striving. There better not be a checklist. There better not be performance. Because there is no pressure in his presence. There is no performance in his presence. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. God is with us in our preparation, and we must expect him to meet us there. Preparation means this. It means to make ready or make room. And a lot of times it looks a lot like this. There are inventories and there are willing vessels and new wineskins that the Lord is cutting and bringing to pass. There's also evictions and restorations that need to happen. There are some things that are within us that have to go, and old ways can't go into new seasons, but there's also a restoration that happens, a reconciliation that happens within our hearts for other people around us, and that doesn't mean that you will walk with them, but that means that you cannot lose your compassion for them. Amen? I'm preaching better than you're responding. We're going to be known for our love. We're going to be known for our love. We have to be known for our love. So just as Michael Jordan or those greats, Kobe Bryant, would say that preparation makes perfect, I would say this, that preparation precedes intimacy. The Lord wants an intimate relationship with every single one of us this season. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. You know, if I need to reconnect with my wife, I don't wait until she gets home from work, gets out of the car, and I tell her to jump in my car so that we can go to McDonald's. It's not going to happen, right? If I haven't learned anything in 20 years of marriage, it's that preparation matters. Preparation matters in my relationship. It brings intimacy. And sometimes it's not even what the manifestation of the preparation is. It's the fact that I took the time to think before we got there. That's what we're doing here in this season. That's what we're doing here as the Church of Jesus Christ, both little C and big C. And so three applications for preparations I believe the Lord is making in this season of Advent. And Advent just means coming. Is number one, he is preparing us through his word. Written, spoken, and revelatory. Last week, Pastor Randy talked about the prophecies, and he went through the genealogy. And who preaches the genealogy of Christmas? the goat, right? A wise sage, someone who's been there. And you know what I heard? I'm in there, amen? I'm in there. I'm in the prophecies. When the Lord spoke the word to Jeremiah and to Isaiah and to Zechariah, he was thinking of me and he was thinking of you, amen? And so there's this process in the heavens when the Lord releases a spoken word. God speaks, we agree, he moves. That's the process. You have a choice and you have a decision to make. Will you agree with the spoken word over your life? We can prophesy all you want, but words can fall to the ground. Prophetic words can fall to the ground, but the will of God will not. God speaks. We agree, he moves. And it's the same principle within our culture. I just believe today in our culture, you know what the Lord is saying? You know, it said earlier in Samuel that they were praying and they went to Samuel and they said, "Look, give us a king." And it's like, well, all right, if that's what you want, prophesy it. And sometimes we get what we ask for. And what we are right now is we're living in the prophetic destiny of a culture that does not know the written word of God, does not know the ways of God, does not know the heart of God, does not know his nature and who he is and what he desires for his children. One word from heaven, one word from heaven can pivot your destiny if you receive it, if your courage is strong enough to receive it. We see it with Noah and Abraham, Jacob and Joseph, Moses and David. God releases a word and plows us in preparation. Zechariah is a man of God. He's a priest in the house of God. And the word of God shook his spirit and engaged the soil of his heart in preparation for the miracle of his son, John the Baptist, that would come into the world. And yes, the Lord shut his mouth for a season, the very instrument of his calling, so that doubt would not corrupt the seed of the spoken word over his womb and over the womb of his wife Elizabeth. You know, there are some seasons as the Lord prepares us for what he has for us. You need to hear this because this is a word for somebody. God will turn off one thing so that he can turn on another. He turned off Zechariah's mouth so that he could turn on his faith. And I'll tell you what, the next word that Zechariah spoke was a word from the Lord. Lord, turn it off if it's not of you. Sometimes I'm identified by my gift. Sometimes I'm identified by my grace. And sometimes I can trust in my gift and my grace more than I'm trusting in the giver of the gift or the grace. And so sometimes the Lord will just turn it down. Will turn it down. He won't take it away because he doesn't take away a gift. He doesn't take away a calling. But he turns up reliance, doesn't he? That's what he's doing in this season of the church. He's turning up our reliance on him. Number two, the Lord is making preparation this Advent within our soul. Within our soul. Forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing. Can I just speak to somebody's womb today that the joy of the Lord has to be your strength? Has to be your strength. Last week, as we closed the service and Pastor Randy finished the sermon, I was indignant, righteously indignant. And I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say, it has to be different. It has to be different, Jeremy. This is a different season. We're on the cusp of the greatest revival, the greatest move of God that there's ever been on the face of the earth. Amen? And if you don't believe me, I said it earlier, you have to check with Heather if this is okay. You can take my paycheck because I can feel it in my bones that there's something coming of eternal worth. And we are on the cusp of it. And you get a decision if you're going to receive it. And the Lord says, I'm preparing the way in your womb, in your spirit, in your soul. You can't hold on to unforgiveness. You can't harbor betrayal and resentment and oppression any longer. Can I just tell you, I heard a pastor say this week that betrayal precedes promotion. Do we not see that in Scripture? Jesus is betrayed by a kiss, and he's promoted to glory. And it's the same process for us. So if you are feeling that today, good news is promotion's on the way. That's what God does. And the church is broken because we all need a healer. But forgiveness doesn't make it right. It makes me right with the one who forgives. So some of us are just holding on to stuff. Make allowances for one another's wrongs. Amen? We're not perfect, but He is. All of this, this is beautiful. It's inviting, but it's not the preparation that the Lord is making in this season. I said it on Sunday night, and I'll say it again. The Lord is not concerned about your deposit under the tree. He's worried about the deposit in your heart. That's what the Lord is. You know what? He is the Savior of my soul, but He is the treasure of my heart. And that's who He desires to be. Amen? So some of us just got to make room. 'Tis the season for healing and giving and generosity and hope and joy and love. And if it doesn't happen now, when will it happen? 'Tis the season, church. It's time to move. It's time to get the incense burning. It's time to get into the Holy of Holies and wait for the Lord to speak. But He's going to have to make room. And if He has to plow through your bitterness, He'll go right through. Because I'll tell you what, the word of the Lord will go through any terrain. He will go through any terrain. Desert, field, mountain. It doesn't matter if it's a pile of trash. He'll go through resentment, rejection, right? Heartache, abuse. He'll just say, I'll just go right through that thing. Because He went right through hell. Why wouldn't He go through that? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare you the way of the Lord. You know what immaturity does? God is just speaking to my heart about maturity, because maturity is capacity. Just because you've learned it doesn't mean you own it. It's got to get in your bones. It's got to get in you. It's got to start to transform your mind, right? We have a lot of Pharisees that know Scripture. There's a lot of demons that can recite Scripture. The devil recited Scripture to the Word Himself, right? But it wasn't in them. It wasn't in them. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Immaturity will withhold and harbor. Are you harboring something this morning? But you know what maturity does? Blesses and releases. Blesses and releases offenses. Releases, like, let's go. Because I can't pick up what He has for me if my hands are full from old seasons. Because of Emmanuel, anything outward and inward is possible. Because of Emmanuel, anything outward and inward is possible. Zechariah and Elizabeth saw the verdict of their womb overridden. And they would be ushered into this everlasting covenant, and their son would prepare ye the way of the Lord. Last but not least, preparations made this Advent will also be for His table. For His table. Community and unity and provision. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His Son. He gave us a chance. He gave us a seat. He gives us provision. That's all God does is give, doesn't He? How could we ever withhold? How could we ever resist the preparations that He wants to make in my life for all He's ever done for me? And He gives me eternity. And there's this down payment of this Holy Spirit. Jesus is our provision for salvation, but He's our preparation for eternity. This is a time where we make preparation for those who we love to sit at our table. Those who we share life with, we invest with, and believe in. And we believe here in this church, in this house, that there is one table, and there's one loaf, and there's one cup, and there's one body, because praise the Lord, there is one Lord. Amen? And He is making preparation for His table in this season. I had this vision the other night. It was Friday in the afternoon, and I was looking over the sermon. And I believe it was an open vision from the Lord. And we were down here on the first floor of the building, here at the church, and I saw this massive banquet table. And I can still see it today. And it was running from one end of the old building all the way through the new addition. And one thing I noticed is that within that image, within that vision, there were no walls separating the old from the new. And I believe that that was a prophetic image of what's to come in this house. And I saw Darlene Bain and Velva Patrick, who are just servants of hospitality. They serve under the stage so that we can minister on the stage. And I saw them just bustling through the kitchen. And they couldn't keep up with everything that was happening. This table was full of silverware that I have never eaten from in my life. Glorious, majestic, anointed. And I saw Leanne Shaw, who came into the room, and she said this. She said, "There's another one. There's another one coming. We got to make space. Get another chair. Hey, there's another family that just came in. Let's make room. Come on, we got to make room at the table." And every time someone new came, God made room for them. I believe that that's what God is saying over this house. The old will go into the new, and it will not be divided. It will run in unity, seamlessly. And the Lord is building this house. Sometimes when I think of the throne room, I wonder if it's going to be this majestic, royal chamber. But then others, I wonder if it's going to just be this open, glorious banquet room where we can all gather because the preparations have been made. And there's nothing I could have ever done to deserve my seat. But because He loves me, because He loves me, I get a chair.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.